We'll finish that up December the 31st on Watch Night, and then we'll give a new reading out. I encourage you, stay with the plan. Some people think, oh, I don't want to just keep on. No, let me tell you, that's the best way to do it. Stay with the plan.
Right.
You can't improve on order.
Right.
Do things decently and in order. But anyway, I've been doing that for many years, and it's a blessing. How many of you are pretty much up with our scripture reading? You're doing it. You're amen. Amen. It's good to see that going on, and we want to encourage you to keep doing that. Now, from time to time, I will preach from the scripture reading. I did that this morning, and I'm going to do it again this evening, taking a text of scripture that comes from the scripture reading. Also, I do a devotional, and it is posted on our church app. It gets on Facebook as well, and for our church Facebook, and we have the daily reading posted there and a devotional commentary on that reading, so it helps to encourage you to keep up and to stay on, and as well as we will preach on that. We're just interested in a re-Bible revival. Amen. We want to get the Word of God. And I'll tell you, if I didn't have the Bible every day, I would dry up. I need the Word of God. The Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So I encourage you, get in the Bible, and get in first thing in the morning. Before you do anything else, get in that Bible early in the morning. All right, so tonight, you may ask, how can I be spiritually ready for these perilous times that we're living in? And indeed, we're living in perilous times. I mean, the globalist New World Order people, represented by Tim Walz and Kamala Harris and the Demon Rat Party, and all these folks have been taken over. I don't understand preachers that don't dare to talk about that. They're just... I do understand them. They're cowards, and they're compromisers, and they're go-along-to-get-along type people. And people say, well, we don't preach on politics. Yeah, what do you preach on? You know, the Bible speaks about the prophecy of the second coming of Jesus Christ, and it says that in the last days, Paul said in Timothy, what kind of times would come? Perilous times. And then he describes the personalities, and we're seeing that come out. We're seeing people come right out now and try to have men dress like women and go to these book readings in libraries where little kids are and rub up against them and display their abominable behavior and try to convert children into that lifestyle, and parents putting up with that. It's hard to comprehend it. But and people put Kamala Harris signs right in their front yards. How dare they? I mean, it reminds me of gay pride, you know, and the homos that in the sodomite times when they come out of the closet and they're bold. That's what we're seeing now. This kind of thing going on, and Kamala Harris is for mutilating minor children, mutilating them and trying to change their gender, their sex, and what a horrible thing that is. And Tim Walz goes along with it. And so it's very clear we need to take a stand in these perilous times. But if you look in Jeremiah chapter 12, and I'm thinking about verse 5, Jeremiah 12 and verse 5, there's a scripture that talks about this. And Jeremiah, you know, he preached it like it was. He said it like it was. And as he said it like it was, he got something called blowback. Blowback, I've talked to the men, when you preach Holy Spirit-filled messages where you just let God give you the scripture and you take the sword of the Spirit and you preach it, you will get blowback from the unholy spirit, right? And that's why God told Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. I remember a great preacher, Jack Hiles, he said when he first started preaching, there was some old guy in the back sitting way in the back of the church, and he'd be making faces at the young preachers. He's preaching, going, trying to throw him off his game, you know. But Jeremiah, nothing new under the sun. God said, don't let their faces confound you. Don't let their faces confound you. And I wish we'd have more believers that their heart would tell their face that they're saved. Amen. Because it's in the heart, but it ought to come out on your face. And I wish there'd be more people in the pew that would say amen from the heart, instead of just sitting there like a bump on a log and not saying amen. I believe in team preaching, amen, especially from men. I believe men ought to lead the way and say amen. Hey, if I can preach it, you should be able to say amen when I'm hitting the point. And I just threw that in. I didn't have that in my notes, but I threw that in. But anyway, we're going to preach tonight on Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse number 5. And this is a word to Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was a sensitive man. He had a melancholy temperament. He was very sensitive. And when people insulted him, when they spoke against him, he would cry. But he still preached what God wanted him to preach. Thank God. When men cry and they get hurt, but they still are courageous enough to say what God wants them to say. And Jeremiah, you know, he was called the weeping prophet, and he would cry, but he would continue to preach the word of God. And but he was hurting because he was being insulted for his preaching. He was being cut down. And even his own relatives cut him down, and his friends, and from the city that he was raised in, a place called Anathoth. Anathoth, that's where the priests were, and Jeremiah was from a priestly family, a Levitical family. And yet he was called to be a prophet. And they were really cutting him down in his hometown. So Jeremiah, he was complaining to God about it. And he said this in Jeremiah 12:1. He said, wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal treacherously? Jeremiah 12:1. Jeremiah was complaining to God. Why I'm afflicted, I'm being ridiculed and mocked. Why do these people, why are they so happy and prosperous when they're doing these wicked things? And here's what God said to Jeremiah, and I want to preach on this tonight, verse 5 of chapter 12. God says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? I would like to preach tonight on how you can be ready for the future horses. How you can be ready for the future horses, or if you will, the four horses. And I want to say three main things about that tonight. Number one, you can be ready for running with the horses. How many have ever raced a horse? Amen. It's kind of a hard thing to do. Matt has done it. Joe has done it. Joe, did you win? Raced. Ran with a horse. All right, Joe's out on that one. How about Matt? Did you race a horse? Did you win? No, he said. He didn't win. horses can go about 40 miles an hour at top speed galloping, and a man can run about 15 miles an hour at top speed man galloping. So, yeah, and God says here, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if the land of peace wherein they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? And I want to look at three things about how you can run with the future four horses. First of all, you can do it, listen, by passing your present tests. You know, we have tests. The kids up here, I give them tests and I give them rewards on the sermons, if they do well on the sermons and they remember what they've heard. They can get something. You know, God does that with you. Our former preacher used to say, you are in the University of Jesus. Every one of you that are born again believers, you are in the University of Jesus tonight. And he would say, your textbook is the Word of God. And your classroom is life. And God will test you with present trials that are very important that you pass the test. You need to pass the test. I hope the kids pass the test on Tuesday when I test them on the sermons. But you need to pass the test because God will test you. He will test you. And I believe that many people are not passing the test that God's giving them. In other words, they're flunking out. In other words, right now, they're not putting into practice what God gave them. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I never forgot it. Back in the second faction of this church, I had a bunch of people that came out against my preaching and came out against me. And I knew I could not turn away from what I was preaching. It hurt me to see that, but I knew that I had to stay with the stuff. And I had even leaders in the church that I remember preaching a message on Nehemiah about the nobles put not their necks to the work, Nehemiah chapter 3. The people that were running the nation wouldn't do the Lord's work of building the wall with Nehemiah. And I applied that to the church. I said, you know, people that lead the church, they ought to be foremost in building the church and soul winning. It shouldn't be not the leader. And I applied it to deacons. Well, some of the deacons didn't like it. Some of the leaders didn't like it. In fact, most of them didn't. And I remember that. And I remember one of the deacons was Deacon Joe Slobodnik, and he stood with the preacher once again. He stood with me. I had to encourage him. Had to encourage him because it was a rough time, wasn't it, Brother Joe? And I stood, and I remember getting all the deacons, and I gave it to him. And the assistant pastor at that time, I remember giving it to him. And I gave him a thing. And Brother Joe, he responded, and he took the stand that needed to be taken. But I'm just saying, you know, sometimes we go through those hard times. And I remember a lot of people left during that time. And it was a tough time. It was a tough time. And I was downstairs, and Deacon Joe must have seen on my face, I was blasted, I was hurt, I was feeling it. And he looked at me and he said, it's just a test. It's just a test. Never forgot it. That's all I needed. Just a test. And I said, that's exactly right. And I want to... Oh, amen. Hey, you got it, buddy. And I want to, good to see you tonight. And I want to pass that test. I want to pass that test. You're being tested. Just like these kids in school, they're being tested. Not only from the preacher, but from the teachers. And they're being tested to see if they're listening, if they're learning. And God will test you in life to see if you're learning. And you say, how can I be ready, Pastor, for the horses that are coming? Well, you can be ready for the horses that are coming if you pass the test for today. Now, by the way, what was God talking about to Jeremiah? Well, he's saying, you know, if you can't run with the footmen, that is the people of Anathoth in your own hometown that are cutting you down, if you can't deal with them and pass that test, then how are you going to be when the Babylonians attack? How are you going to be when the king of Judah comes against you? How are you going to be and this happened to Jeremiah, when they put you in jail and they put you in a pit and you're sinking down in the muck and the mire? How are you going to be then? You see, you're not going to be able to do it. And so what you need to understand is that, you know, Bible prophecy, listen to me, and the second coming of Jesus Christ is not for wimps. It's not for wimps. And by the way, Bible prophecy and the second coming of Jesus Christ is not for dying and escaping this world and escaping hard times. It's for doing it and staying in it. That's what it's about. We got too many thumb-sucking babies in the church sucking on pre-trib rapture teaching, and I'm sick and tired of it. And it's about time somebody says what God said to Jeremiah. He was a preacher, and he said to Jeremiah, he said, look, Jeremiah, he said, you can't even keep up with the footmen. You're not even passing the test of the people around you now. How are you going to be in the future when the horses run here? And he said, if in the land of peace, how are you going to be in the swelling of Jordan? You know what that's talking about? The swelling of Jordan? How many know what that's talking about? Well, I'll tell you. The Jordan River has certain periods, the rainy season, when the river comes up to flood tide. And it overflows its banks. And around the Jordan River, there's a lot of deep grass. And in those grasslands, around the Jordan River, guess what hides in there? Lions and tigers and bears. And they would be in there, and when the Jordan River would flood, they would come out of there and go on rampages, and people would have to deal with man-eating lions. And it was no fun for the people in the land to deal with that. And so God is saying, how can you be ready for that? Well, you've got to be able to pass your present test in order for you to be strong enough for the future. By the way, that's Bible teaching. The Apostle James, and I do believe it was the Apostle James that wrote James, the first pastor of Jerusalem church, and not the brother, half-brother of the Lord, who was this another pastor of the church later on. But he says this. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Now, that's talking about different kind of trials. I think of Miss Diane, and she's been a soul winner. She's out there. She's doing the work of God. She's getting hit with diverse trials, diverticulitis. that's a bad one. And then stuff with her head she's had to deal with, and other things on the job and so forth and so on. My brethren, says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Does Diane feel joyous when she's going through those things? I don't think. Not naturally. No. In fact, it can be very discouraging and disheartening. But she's learning to count it all joy. What does count it mean? That's an accounting term. It's a mathematical term. You add it up and you say, yes, 2 and 2 equals 4, 4 and 4, 8. This will result in joy. Well, what's the joy from? Well, notice what it says here. Knowing this, you got to know something, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What is patience? The ability not to run away when you have a test and a hard time coming. How many times have I seen believers run away from the church, run away from the will of God, because they go through a hard time? And those people either have no faith at all, or if they do have faith, they're not going to grow their faith, and they're not going to get stronger, and they're not going to be ready for what God has for them. They're going to be like little babies and little children. And so that's the way the Corinthian church was, the first charismatic type church. They were messed up and they were babies. And by the way, the charismatic movement, I was in it as a young Christian. What they need is Bible teaching. They need Bible teaching. These people don't even understand salvation. They don't understand what we're getting on Thursday night. They need Bible teaching. So I'm just saying to you, we need to have that Bible teaching and know some things, and then have your faith tested. And if you pass the test and stay with it, you're going to have patience. And it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, let patience have its perfect work. Don't quit on God. Wait on God. Stay with God, and you will see the blessing. I mentioned Brother Matt this morning. I'll mention him this evening. He's been knocking on doors up at Carbondale. He hasn't quit. He's been patient. He's been tested, but he stayed. Now, God said, you passed the test. I'm going to give you 12 new people to sign up for bus ministry. And he did it. And praise God. It just, God rewards, listen, faith and patience. And he says, you will be perfect and entire. What that means is you'll be a mature believer. You will lack nothing. And that's what we need today at Scranton Revival Baptist Church, is more mature ministering saints of God. But you're not going to get it, listen to me, without passing the test that God gives you. And so God gives you a gift of test, trials, trouble in your life. You might as well put it in the mathematical column of joy, because it's going, if you stay with it, it's going to result in your being a more mature believer. And that's what we need today. And by the way, that will help you to be ready for the future four horses. You need that. Now, there's a second thing I want to say tonight to help you get ready for the future four horses, and that is not only pass your present test, but number two, prepare yourself by understanding Bible prophecy. Let's read that again. Jeremiah 12, 5. It says, and I'll read it, you follow. Jeremiah 12 and verse number 5, it says, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses?" You know, I think about what Brother Bob Bajeski says about the upcoming election. He's been talking about the election, and he's got the table back there if you need help with that. This will be the last night to get it done on time, so see him. But he's been talking about the upcoming election. He says if Donald Trump doesn't get elected, and I believe this is the most important election in American history, if Donald Trump doesn't get elected, we are going on fast pace right into the 70th week of Daniel. Am I quoting you right, Bob? We're going right into the 70th week of Daniel sooner than later. Sooner than later. And certainly we're going into persecution, and this pulpit will not be free very long, because if you don't see that, you're blinded. It's going to be something. Donald Trump says, "They're coming after me now, but I'm standing in their way from coming after you." And that's exactly right. And so you are fighting for your life, so to speak. But I'm saying you need to prepare yourself by understanding Bible prophecy. And you know, the book of Revelation, a lot of people do not properly understand the book of Revelation. Do you know that the book of Revelation, listen to me, is a survival guide for the end times? Now, most believers think, well, I'm going to be out of here when the things of Revelation begin to happen. And that's true as far as the day of the Lord's wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, God has not appointed us to wrath. But these same believers that say that I'm going to be out of here, they don't even understand the difference between God's wrath and Satan's wrath. They don't even understand the difference between the great tribulation testing time and the day of the Lord's wrath. And they don't understand that. And by the way, they don't understand the difference between the great tribulation, the day of the Lord's wrath, and a third thing, which is the first thing that'll happen during the last 7 years before the thousand-year reign, and that is the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's called by the Lord in Matthew 24, 4 through 8, the beginning of sorrows, or the beginning of birth pangs, that these birth pangs must come upon us before the kingdom of God comes. Folks don't even understand that. It's not being taught. It's not being preached. Listen, I didn't really understand the book of Revelation when I went to Bible college. I could pass a test on it for my professors, but now I really understand it. I see it because I haven't had that blindness that has been put on me by doctrines of men, because I've learned what the Word of God says. And you need to prepare yourself if you're going to face the four horses. You need to prepare yourself by understanding Bible prophecy. Listen to what it says, Revelation 1:3. "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. In other words, the time these things are going to happen could happen in your lifetime. They could happen in our lifetime. They could start falling out upon us. And that was even true in the first century, and is true much more even now. And so you need to understand that. And you say, well, what about Revelation? What's Revelation? How do you understand Revelation? Verse 10 is very helpful. In verse 10 of chapter 1, the Apostle John, while he's on the Isle of Patmos, he's given a vision of the overview of the prophecy. And he doesn't stay there through the whole prophecy, but he's given an outline and an overview of the whole prophecy. And it's in Revelation 1, verse 10. Here's what he says. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Then the Lord said to John, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So, one of the men tell me, what did he mean when he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day? Let's see if you know that, what that means. Verse 10, we haven't preached on it in a little while, but can you bring it up? You should be able to if you're keeping it in memory.
The Lord brought John into the future on the Lord's day of his wrath, and he's able to see everything that the Lord's going to do on the day of the Lord.
Perfect. Perfect. He passed that test. Wonderful. Did you know it? On the Lord's Day, that talking about Sunday, nowhere in the Bible is Sunday called the Lord's Day. Now, Sunday was the first day of the week. It was the day the Lord rose from the dead, but it's not called the Lord's Day. God doesn't do that. But the day of the Lord is called the Lord's Day, as well as the day of the Lord's wrath. It's a day and a time when, even in Jewish eschatology, it's a time when God is going to come right out in the open. There'll be no beast sitting on the throne when the Lord comes out in the open. They'll be running for the hills, brother. Brother, I'm telling you, when the Lord comes out, he's not going to miss. And the Lord's Day is a period of time. And it extends over a period of time. In fact, Revelation chapter 8 through 19 deals with the Lord's Day. All of that is the Lord's Day. It will happen after the Great Tribulation in the Bible. It will happen after the four horses of the apocalypse, of the Revelation. And it will happen during that time. And so John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And then he says, write the things which thou hast seen. In other words, write the things that you have seen in the past, has seen the things which are in the past from the Lord's day, because he was taken in a time machine, as it were, to the future. Now he's looking back. Listen, everything from John's day up until the day of the Lord's wrath is covered in the things that John has seen. What is that? Chapter 1 all the way through chapter 7. All of that is, it deals with the churches in John's day, and it deals with church history throughout all of the different phases of church history, and the Laodicean phase being the final stage when the Lord comes back. That's the most of the churches are going to be Laodicean. It covers all of that. It covers all of that, and it goes all the way through the seals, and in chapter 6, the seals are broken to the scroll. What's the scroll? It's the wrath of God, the Lord's wrath that's going to be poured out to take this world back. Do you know Jesus has taken this world back? It's not going to be ruled by the globalist. It's going to be ruled by God's Son. And that's what the Bible is all about. And we're getting ready for a showdown that's going to rock the world. Well, listen, if you're going to make it in the days to come, how can you be ready for the future? Then pass your present test today. Pass them right now, and you'll be strong enough. And you know, some students, when they do really good on tests, what does the teacher do? One of the men tell me, if you do really good, let's say you ace all these tests, what does the teacher sometime do when it comes to the final exam? What does he do, Brother Matt?
The teacher allows the student who's been doing so well to bypass the final exam.
To bypass the final exam. Well, what's the final exam? Well, it's going to be the Great Tribulation. It's going to be to face the beast and the Antichrist. You think you're not doing that right away, you're flunking right away because you're not being properly taught. And that's not going to happen here. Not going to happen under my watch, friends. We're not going to give you a Disney World Christianity view of things. We're going to tell you the way it is. And I'm just saying to you, you come here and you need to understand that. And so, I believe there are going to be believers that are passing the present test, and they're going to be so strong that when it comes to the final exam, God is going to just bless them with grace, and it's going to be so good for them. You get stronger. And some of those tests you won't have to do. There'll be different tests during the Great Tribulation. But I'm just saying to you, pass your present test and prepare yourself by understanding Bible prophecy. It is so important that you understand Bible prophecy. And remember, God said in Jeremiah 12:5, He said, if you can't keep up now with your present test, with these people that are criticizing you, how are you going to run with the horses? And I'd like you to see the horses of the apocalypse. Turn to the book of Revelation just a moment. Turn to Revelation, and you see the horses of the apocalypse in chapter 6. Let's go to chapter 6. And by the way, the seals that are open, listen, this is very important you understand that. There is a scroll, and a scroll has seven seals on the scroll. And when all of those seals are opened, then you can open the scroll. And what is the scroll? The wrath of God poured out to take this world back for the Lord. So what are the seals? If the scroll is the wrath of God, one of the men tell me what would be the seals. How would you explain the seals? If the scroll is the wrath of God, Brother Kyle, what are the seals? I'm going to bring this right over to you.
The prerequisites before it is opened.
Excellent. The prerequisites, the prior events that must occur before the wrath of God comes. The wrath of God does not come until all seven seals are broken. And they are not all broken until chapter 8, when the seventh seal is broken. In chapter 6, six of the seven are broken. You say, well, when does the rapture happen? Between the sixth and seventh seal. Because the seventh seal, when it's open, there's a half hour delay, and then the wrath of God is poured out with the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgment. Do you know anything about this? The Apostle Paul said, I taught you these things. You know these things. You understand. The early church understood these things. Thank God for our men that are answering these questions. Because I am telling you, if you're going to prepare for the future, for the future horses, then you've got to pass your present test. And number two, you've got to understand basic Bible prophecy in order to pass the test. And here we are in Revelation 6. And notice, verse 1 says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. By the way, interesting, the Lamb is going to be in heaven, and He's going to open the seals. I am so glad that whatever trials or tests you come to, Satan has to get permission from the Lamb. And He's called the Lamb. He laid out His life for us. He loves us. He's never going to leave. And He'll never lead you where His grace can't keep you. He'll never lead you where He doesn't give you the grace that you need to pass the test. And that's to overcome. And the first one is going to be, notice that when He opens that seal, a horse rides out. It says, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, this white horse represents the Antichrist, the Jewish Antichrist, and the beast who work together to bring about a globalist government. And they are conquering. It's interesting, the UN is white. The symbol of the United Nations is white. And we're going to see the United Nations growing in power and having an army, and it's going to be all done through quote-unquote peace and diplomacy. And this thing is going to happen. And he's going to build. And we know at the beginning of the final 7 years that the nation of Israel has been blessed of God and taken care of by God and given victories by God. And instead of trusting the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're going to trust the man, the head of the EU, the European Union. And they're going to make a covenant with him. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 15 and 18, it's a covenant with death. And they're going to give up their sovereignty. The nation of Israel is going to give up their sovereignty. And when they give up their sovereignty, they're going to be part of the European Union. And it's going to be the EU Rome. And it's going to be in the Middle East, just like in the days of Jesus. The Roman Empire took over Egypt and Syria and Israel. It's all going to be part of that revived Roman Empire. It's coming. It's coming, beloved. And you say, what stands in the way of it now? Politically, the MAGA movement, Brexit, those kind of things politically. Those are things that are hindering Satan. See, Satan wants this yesterday. He wants us to be part of this whole thing, this one world government, right, yesterday. He wants a one world economy. He wants a one world currency. Satan wants that. And the Bible predicts it's going to happen. Let's say Donald Trump gets elected. We pray to God that he does. And that we have a delay in the devil's timeline, and we should be fighting the devil and the globalist government. This thing about the breaking of the seals in Revelation corresponds to Matthew 24 and is the beginning of sorrows. And it's a picture of the progress of globalism. Do we see globalism right now progressing with Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and George Soros and the corrupting of district attorneys and the corrupting of our Justice Department, China and the globalists, the Western globalists working together. They've taken over our government for the most part. Listen, it's progressing ahead. And this is a picture of that, so that at the beginning of the 7 years when Israel gives up its sovereignty and they're given recognition for the temple worship on the Temple Mount, and the EU leader will say, you can do your sacrifices, nobody's going to bother you. That will be the progress of the white horse, the UN, going forward. And then it says, and when he opened the second seal, that's verse 3, Revelation 6, the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him, and that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, remember it says in Matthew 24, which goes along with this, it's a commentary on it, nation shall what? Rise against nation. By the way, the word nation there is ethnos. It's like ethnic group. And what these globalists do, this is all talking about the globalists, they like to divide black and white. They want you fighting racially. They like to divide Hispanic from European white stuff. They like to divide by ethnic group. And they want you fighting each other while they take power. And they try to form it. That's why the demon rat party, they live on that kind of politics. Right. And that's exactly what the Bible says will happen at the beginning of sorrows, when they're coming to final power, when the globalists finally rule. That second horse represents the fighting, the rioting that's going on. Amen and amen. I think of Tim Walz. His wife said she loved the smell of burning rubber when the rioting was going on. Remember the Black Lives Matter? I do believe Black Lives Matter. Small b, small m. But I don't believe in the group, the communist group called Black Lives Matter. No, they're globalists. They're going along with this kind of thing. And I'm just saying that this is the picture of the horses of the apocalypse. And we've already had some previews of it. And how did you take a stand? And I tell you, pastors that don't preach on this, church members that don't take a stand, people that took the jab didn't even see what was going on, what the globalists were doing. You need to wake up. You need to wake up, because if you can't keep up with a footman, what are you going to do when the horses are running here? And it's going to get bigger and stronger. And then he says in verse number four, and there went out another horse. That we already looked at that. And then it says in verse number five, and when he'd opened the third seal, I heard, and that's the third horse, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and behold, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. How many of you were living during the Great Depression? Not me, not any of us. I raised my hand, but I wasn't there. My dad was. My dad said we would get a Christmas present, a Hershey bar, and maybe the girls would get a homemade doll. And he said, we were thrilled. We thought that was, during the Great Depression, that was a great Christmas present. We don't know the poverty that was seen. The Bible says here that one meal, just to get one meal, it will take. And there's inflation going on here. Sounds like Kamala, huh, man? Inflation going on. And one meal will cost about $125 just to get a meal. About $125 just to get a meal. That's what the equivalent of the price mentioned here of a penny was. A penny wasn't like the penny we have today. That was what it was. And there's going to be food shortages. It's going to be rough. And this is not, by the way, I'm not talking about the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation doesn't start at the beginning of the final 7 years. One of the men tell me, at what point, time-wise, if it doesn't start at the beginning, when does the Great Tribulation start? And by the way, listen to me and listen carefully. The Great Tribulation starts when the one world government takes over. And now the beast has his cashless system in place, and it's all together. Raise your hand if you know. I got some men up. All right, I'm going to go to Luke right here. Dr. Luke.
It starts after the halfway mark.
It starts right at the halfway mark.
Yeah.
Right at the halfway mark. He's going for it. 3.5 years into the 70th week of Daniel, it will start. And that's just 3.5 years after Israel has signed this covenant to give up their sovereignty to the leader of the European Union, who is going to be the beast that will be the worldwide dictator, run the whole world. And so when that happens, the Jewish Antichrist gets troops. He goes in to put down a rebellion in the Middle East. And he goes into Jerusalem and he puts an image of the beast right up in the temple there in Jerusalem. He tells everybody, we're having too many religious differences, too many religious fights. We need a one world religion. One world government, one world religion, one world economy. And guess what the one world religion will be? Secular humanism, 666. Man is evolved to be godlike. And the beast is the most highly evolved man. And that's going to be the religion. And you won't be able to have Islam over that, Judaism over that, Christianity over that. You can still have that, but you've got to make this number one by bowing down to the image of the beast. And if you don't do that, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be put in jail. You're going to be killed with the guillotine. That's how it's going to be during that time. But that's after the four horses. The first horse is going to be peace and diplomacy and gaining strength. The second horse war and fighting. The third one, famine. And then the fourth one, we'll have all these things. The pandemics, there'll be pandemics. And you know how they use the China virus. They're going to use pandemics. There's going to be more germ warfare. They're going to launch these diseases. Bill Gates loves these things. He's designing mosquitoes that can spread trouble. He loves this stuff. He's a wicked Antichrist man. And I can see why his wife divorced him. Wicked man, immoral and wicked, yeah. Bill Gates. I'm not saying he's the beast, but he would be one that would qualify. Yeah. But I'm saying there's going to be folks that are going to be duped by all of this. And Jeremiah says, if you don't even understand these things, how are you going to be able to stand up in these last days? So prepare yourself by understanding Bible prophecy. Prepare yourself by understanding the future horses of the apocalypse. And listen to me. I want to say this to you, especially anybody that's tempted to believe in the pre-trib rapture, that we get out of here before the 70th week. No, we do not get out of here before the 7th week. You say, well, we're out of here before the wrath of God. Well, I'll wind up with this. Go to Revelation 6, and I'll show you from Revelation 6 that the wrath of God does not start until the sixth seal is broken. And what is the sixth seal? That comes after the great tribulation. By the way, go to Matthew 24. You'll see the same thing. You have the great tribulation in Matthew 24, and you have the details of it in verse 15 and following, but then after that, you have something that when the sixth seal is broken is going to happen. And what is the sign that the sixth seal has been broken and it's after the tribulation? One of the men tell me, Kyle? Boy, he's got it. Cosmic darkening. He was able to get it. And notice what Kyle just said. When that happens, do you know preppers are going to try to hide themselves? In fact, go to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12, and I'll read it. It says, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. Remember that the wrath of God doesn't start till the seventh seal is open. All those seals have to be broken. I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. By the way, there's going to be a great earthquake. Great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. By the way, there's going to be weather warfare going on during the first 3.5 years. Part of that will be tectonic. They have technology now that can cause earthquakes. And it says, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. And now look at the reaction of these rich people on earth. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in dens and in rocks and the mountains. By the way, how many have heard of underground stuff? How many have heard of Mark Zuckerberg in Hawaii and his underground stuff? He's got like huge places underground. This is that. These people are thinking they can hide themselves. I like what Alex Jones says. When these people hide themselves, he said they're the first people we're coming after. but anyway, this is talking about the wrath of God, and they're not going to be able to hide themselves from the wrath of God. It says they're gonna try to hide from the from a lamb that gets mad. Yeah, Jesus is a lamb, but he's going to get mad. And he says in verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? That's in the present tense. It doesn't say will come or has come. Is come right now. When? When the sixth seal is opened, the wrath of God is now imminent. It can happen right now. And it will happen. And when will the wrath of God be poured out? When Jesus comes back in the clouds. By the way, Jesus' second coming isn't just a one-time thing. It is a one-time thing, but it's a number of events that happen over a number of times. It'll happen during the second half of the 3.5 years, the second 3.5 years. And the first thing he's going to do, Revelation 6, rapture the church. And he's going to mark and seal Israel to go through a remnant of Jews, the 144,000, to go through the wrath of God and to be safe. He's going to do all that during this time, you see. Do you understand these things? I didn't understand them because I was taught pre-trib and it didn't fit. If it doesn't fit, it's not going to help you. You got to understand to be able to face the horses of the apocalypse. Now, I do believe Donald Trump will be elected. You better do your part. Pray and vote. I believe God's going to delay the devil's time. I've been saying that for a long time. Donald Trump is still in there. They're trying to kill him right now. They may try to poison him. They may try to take a missile and shoot his jet out of the sky. They may try to do that. In fact, I believe they will. But through our prayers, God can deliver. But do you want to learn from Jeremiah? Well, pass the present test that you get and stay with God in your present test and understand Bible prophecy and get in a church that teaches it. Amen. Boy, we need that. And then understand the four horses that we just talked about, which will happen during the first 3.5 years. Then right in the middle will come the world government and the great persecution or tribulation for the saints. It'll be a test, the final test for God's people. And then that will be cut short by cosmic darkening and then the wrath of God after he raptures us out of here during the rest of the 3.5 years. Not the whole 3.5, but what's left, that will happen. Understand it and be ready to do what God wants you to do. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder if you say, Pastor,